Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates and I am your host. I am joined here by the man who exclusively uses Internet Explorer, Mike Tagliere. Mike, how's it going?
Oh man, this is like some behind the scenes stuff. Yesterday we were getting ready for our live stream and Yates was asking me a question. I was like, just go ahead and open up your internet browser. And he's like, what did you just say? And I was like, shut up. You know exactly what I was talking about.
Definitely said Internet Explorer. Yep.
I was there when the internet was invented, so
hey, you can find both of us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, we're doing a real NFL mock draft here today, and I wanted to make sure that we brought on one of the best possible guests to talk us through it, and that is Danny Kelly. He's a staff writer for The Ringer and co-host of the Dantasy podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Danny B. Kelly. Danny, you make it through free agency and all the chaos that came with it, man?
I'm doing my best. Tags, do you get your internet off of a CD disc these days still?
Oh, man. Oh, this is bringing back some memories. I actually forgot that the internet was on disc for a while. That I remember the dial-up connection. That was a real thing.
Yes, you can't talk on the phone while you're using the internet and vice versa.
Trying to download a song and it taking like 2 hours.
Are we aging ourselves right now, I think? Maybe a little?
Yeah, a lot of people are listening and like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm one of them, so we'll just move past. So,
let's talk about the 90s, yeah.
All right, guys, like I said, we're doing a real NFL mock draft on today's episode. We had some movement over free agency with, you know, a couple picks, so this should be really interesting and getting some instant reaction here. So this is going to be what we believe the NFL GMs for each of these teams are going to do, okay? So looking at team needs and the available board and determining who's a good fit there. So we've also adjusted the board so that we're taking each pick for that team in the first round. So for example, Danny is making all the picks for the Dolphins rather than us just kind of going on a rotation throughout the entire episode. And guys, make sure to follow along on YouTube as well so you can see all these picks play out. Head over to youtube.com/fantasypros to see this happen in real time and make sure to hit the subscribe button while you're over there. Before we continue on with the episode, I need to tell you all about this awesome contest we're doing right now. Thanks to Pristine Auction, we're giving away a signed Marquise Brown Ravens helmet. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and leave a review. Then take a screenshot of that review and email it to contest@fantasypros.com. It's that simple. For more details, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for making that possible. And speaking of Pristine Auction, I want to make sure that we quickly thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. Their daily auctions have hundreds of signed memorabilia items to choose from that are perfect for your man cave. I was taking a look at some recent items that went, and I couldn't believe some of the prices. A Quinnen Williams signed Jets jersey went for $33, and a Jerry Jeudy signed Alabama logo football went for only $41. Pristine Auction is the place to go to get your signed authentic memorabilia of your favorite players at unbelievably affordable prices. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's Pristine auction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com to start building your dream man cave today. All right, Tags, let's get right into it, man. You're now on the clock with the Cincinnati Bengals. They've made some moves here in free agency, which is exciting and new for them. But did that change their overall draft strategy there with the first overall pick?
Not with number one overall. Number one is going to be Joe Burrow. And the question I have for you guys, I think everybody knows this is going to happen. This is like one of those drafts where they're going to try and drum up some stuff about Tua, but it's going to be Burrow number one. Would you guys draft Joe Burrow in a redraft league this year, considering Zach Taylor there, AJ Green going to get tagged? They have Tyler Boyd there. They have Joe Mixon who can catch passes. They have John Ross to stress the field. There's a lot of things to like about this. Is he a breakout candidate, or is he someone more for like two quarterback leagues?
I'm pretty excited about him, honestly. I've one of my strategies, and I'm sure this is going to be something a lot of people do in both redraft and dynasty, is to scoop up some guys sort of on the depth chart for the Bengals. You know, like Drew Sample is like a really late round flyer type guy, just based on the rising tide raises all ships type idea. I think Joe Burrow, you know, he's certainly probably going to have his, you know, fair share of rookie moments and all that, but I do think, you know, like you said, with Zach Taylor, with the weapons that they have there, I think this offense could take a huge, huge jump this year. So, you know, guys like Auden Tate or, you know, John Ross become a lot more interesting to me sort of in the later rounds. And I think I would take Burrow too as kind of like a late round flyer as well. I know he's going pretty high in dynasty drafts, certainly. I'm pretty hopeful, yeah, with him.
Yeah, in redraft leagues, I'm willing to take him there with kind of my last pick, if he's still there. I don't know if he's necessarily someone who I want to like completely bank on in year one, right? But if I'm deploying a late round QB strategy and I'm choosing between guys like, you know, if Nick Foles is a starter in Chicago, or if it, you know, I can take Joe Burrow, I'll probably take Joe Burrow in that instance.
Yeah, for sure. Like a platoon situation where you might snag two quarterbacks at the end of your draft and just kind of platoon them back and forth.
All right, awesome. Well, Joe Burrow off the board there at number one. We'll go right here to Danny at number two with the Washington Redskins, a team who's also been fairly active in free agency. Danny, where are they going here at number two?
So obviously, I think this is a kind of the catbird spot for taking trade offers and all that. And I think that they'll definitely listen for guys trying to move up for quarterbacks, whether it's Tua or Herbert or whatever. I think just looking at what the 49ers did last year in terms of taking Nick Bosa and the way he helped transform a defense that already had some very high-end talent on it, but just kind of needed that little bump, I think. And we saw what they did. You know, Bosa helped transform that defense. I think Chase Young could do that for the Redskins. They already have a ton of talent on their defensive line. And I just think that's number one. I think that's kind of what Rivera is going to want to do. He's always been sort of a build from the trenches type coach. And so I'm going with Chase Young here, even though I'm sure they'll listen to some trade offers, but it would have to be just a massive, massive haul for them to pass up Young. I mean, he's that good. He's just going to be an instant impact player type guy that could legitimately turn their defense into a very, very good defense, I think.
Yeah, completely. Tags, we saw, like Danny mentioned, Nick Bosa had an immediate impact on that 49ers defense, who was loaded with first-round talent already on the defensive line. Same thing in Washington. They've taken some solid players there over the past few years. Is this a good spot for Chase Young?
Yeah, their front seven is going to be nasty, and I think Ron Rivera, being a defensive-minded coach, is going to like that Chase Young there, and I don't see them trading out of this. Some people think that Chase Young is the best player in this draft. I don't think that he's on the level of Bosa as a prospect to me. That's my own personal opinion, but a lot of people do like him just as much as they like Bosa last year. So knowing Rivera's there, I would definitely say that Young is going to land there at number two, and as Danny said, it would take a ton for a team to move up to number two, and And knowing that all these vacancies that have kind of filled up in the NFL and the teams that are left that need a quarterback, I mean, the one team I guess I would watch is the Chargers if they maybe decided that they wanted to trade up ahead of the Dolphins to get to that number two spot to take Tua.
All right, awesome. So we're here with the Lions on the clock at number three overall. This is a spot that I have been typically giving them Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker out of Clemson. However, we just saw Darius Slay be traded, and they brought in Desmond Trufant. Now, Desmond Trufant is a good corner, but I think he's towards the tail end of his career. I don't think he's a lockdown, you know, number one corner anymore to this point in his career. So I think he's best as a cornerback two on a team, and they need that dominant corner for this scheme. I'm going to go Jeff Okudah here all the way at number three. I think it's high for a corner, which has been my hesitation up to this point, but Okudah is about as fluid and smooth of a corner prospect as you're going to find, and I think he'd be a perfect immediate impact pick there for the Lions at number three. Danny, what's your thoughts on Okuda? Specifically, let's go a corner all the way up here at three. It seems pretty high.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously it's a little bit rare to have that position be that high, but I don't know. I kind of feel like the NFL is going to change over the next decade or so as I think cornerbacks are going to become an even more premium position because you're having so many teams with spread offenses and three and four wide looks, and just having guys who can cover like Okuda is just going to be more and more important as we go along, I think. And so this is maybe on the edge of that sort of evolution, but Okuda's as high floor and high ceiling as you're going to get, I feel like, you know, at cornerback, certainly. And then even in the top 10, I think, you know, him, Young, and Simmons are just, I mean, like, no-brainers to me. So, yeah, I think Okuda is a great pick here. I don't have any problem with it. I don't have any problem with the value. So I think that's just fine. I mean, he's going to be a star.
Yeah, well, Tags, the popular comp for Okuda over the course of this draft season from some of the main guys has been Stephon Gilmore. And now we're seeing Detroit essentially mimic New England, right? They signed a bunch of players that have come from New England. You got Matt Patricia there. Does this make sense for them? Like, does Bob Quinn pull the trigger there because he can get Stephon Gilmore in his scheme?
I mean, if he turns into Stephon Gilmore, it's going to be a fantastic pick because in that division, they have Allen Robinson, they have Davante Adams. The wide receivers in the NFC in general are just the wide receiver position. I'm with Danny on this one. And the fact that the NFL is changing and, you know, wide receivers and cornerbacks, being this is becoming a passing league, you're going to start to see more and more quarterbacks throw over 5,000 yards. I think Jameis Winston was just the ninth quarterback ever to do it. But I think we're going to start to see more and more players do that as teams kind of like move with the NFL, because some guys are just slow to adapt, right? It's just they're not willing to change that. Stop running the ball so much. It's more beneficial for you to throw the ball. So I do like it. Unfortunately, they don't have Bill Belichick, and Matt Patricia has been a terrible coach. I wouldn't fault them for this pick. I do like Jeffrey Simmons an awful lot, and I do think that he would fill it, but they signed Jamie Collins, so I'm guessing they're going to go Okuda here. I think you're right.
Yeah, that was the main part that was making me lean away from Isaiah Simmons, just with the signing of Jamie Collins, kind of similar roles there on that team. But Isaiah Simmons, of course, can be moved all over the formation, and he's not going to be on the board for long, that's for sure. So let's move on here. Number four overall, it's the New York Giants. Tags, you're making this pick. What is Dave Gettleman thinking here?
Do we ever know what Dave Gettleman's thinking? I mean, if it's me personally, like if this is me on the clock, I mean, we all know who I like. I like Simmons. I would be taking him here, but that's not what the Giants are going to do, because that's not what logic would do. I mean, I know that they need an offensive tackle, and that's probably where we're going to go. They want to protect Daniel Jones. They obviously have the receivers. They have the offense that they want. It's just they need an offensive line, and they don't even have a right tackle on the roster right now. So this is where I'm a little torn, though. This is where their draft board comes into play. Do they go with the crazy athlete in Mekhi Becton? Like, I think he's more of a left tackle than a right. But Tristan Wirfs, I believe he's someone that wowed at the combine, and he's probably going to go high in the draft. I'm going to say that they're going to go Tristan Wirfs here, just because I feel like he's better suited for what they need him on the right side of the offensive line. But it wouldn't shock me if they went Becton.
No, Wirfs is an amazing athlete, ultra athletic, and again, he's a very good offensive tackle prospect. Could be a guy too that if he doesn't work out at tackle for some reason, kick him inside and he can be an elite guard, which the New York Giants just need that desperately. All right, let's move on here. We got the Miami Dolphins, their first pick on the board here. It's Danny's pick here. Where are the Miami Dolphins going?
This is a very, very interesting spot for me, because for me, I'm big on Tua, and I think the Dolphins would be great in a great situation to pick Tua here, because they could have sort of a bridge with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, to the future. They could let him come along slowly. They don't have to force him in there. They're building, I think, what could be a very good team. I have faith in Flores and that coaching staff. So I think this is a perfect landing spot for Tua. However, what I've been hearing, and especially from Daniel Jeremiah of late, is that Herbert is a guy that coaches absolutely love, Justin Herbert from Oregon. And I believe Jeremiah has been saying that the Dolphins are not necessarily completely in love with Tua. What Jeremiah has been saying, and that's always based on kind of like what he's hearing in league circles and everything, is that the Chargers absolutely love Tua. And the Dolphins are kind of like, we like both Tua and Herbert. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with Tua here. I did just read they tried to bring him in for a visit this week. It didn't really work out because of the coronavirus, but I know. I just think they're going to look at that upside. His efficiency, his accuracy, his leadership, everything, and decide that the injury risk is acceptable. They don't have to move up in this situation. So, you know, they don't have to give up more picks. I just think this makes too much sense for them. So I'm going with Tua on this spot.
Yeah, and then they go and they trade Josh Rosen to the Patriots for like a fourth round pick.
Exactly.
And then we watch the world burn. all right, so I'm on the board here now with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, all right, so they're on the board here on the clock. And I'm going to go with Justin Herbert here, and I'll explain why. Quarterback out of Oregon. Danny was just talking about him a little bit here, but I'm not exactly the biggest Herbert fan. However, the Chargers need quarterback. And if they're not going to be bringing in Cam Newton and or Jameis Winston, which it sounds like the Chargers are moving forward, hey, we're going to be able to get a quarterback there at number 6 overall. I don't think that they can go in confidently into next year with Tyrod Taylor as the bona fide starter. I just don't think that that's where they want to be as a franchise, especially in Los Angeles, where they need to be bringing in fans, right? They need to have something into that, like to bring people into that stadium to excite that fan base, because we've heard so much that it's been those home games last year were like away games for them. So they need to be doing something. And for them, Justin Herbert brings that mobility that they like at the position. He brings an incredibly high ceiling. When watching his tape, I've seen it connect. I've seen it happen, right? There's just so much inconsistency with him. So if he can get with that right coaching staff there and can put it all together, I think he has an incredibly high ceiling. And I think he's worth the pick there at 6 overall. Tags, do you like that fit for Justin Herbert in Los Angeles?
I do think that that's the pick that they would go with if this is how the board shook out. I actually think the Chargers are the team to watch to trade up with either Detroit or the Giants to jump in front of the Dolphins to get Tua.
Yeah.
As Danny was saying, they are in love with him, and Miami is kind of just sitting back and sitting still. They know they're in a mode, and if they like Herbert, they may not feel pressured to move up at all. So I could see the Chargers being a team that jumps up to take Tua in a 3 or 4 spot, because I do believe that the Lions or the Giants can get whoever they want moving back to that number 6 pick, so it kind of makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, completely. All right, well, the Carolina Panthers
running to the board.
Running to the board here because the player that they love is on the is still available. Tags, Carolina Panthers.
Isaiah Simmons, linebacker out of Clemson, a guy that can play everywhere in the field. Luke Kuechly leaving the team, obviously that's a big void to fill. They have a ton of voids. Like, we were going through this in the live stream. I mean, wow, the Carolina Panthers had holes before free agency started, and now when you look at it, you're just like, this team is in complete disarray. And it's really weird to me that Teddy Bridgewater, a 3-year deal, like a rebuild's going to take a while, guys, and it's like now they only have him tied up for 3 years. It's weird how they're trying to build this team right now, because this defense is in some serious need. Unfortunately, Isaiah Simmons is, like, me personally, I think he may be the best player in this draft. Incredibly versatile, can play anywhere on the field. And I honestly think he could play wide receiver if you wanted him to. He's a ridiculous athlete. Fantastic. He's going to fill that spot.
Danny, do you like that fit there?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Simmons is just, I think I've got him rated 3rd or 4th on my board behind. So I've got Chase Young, Joe Burrow, Tua, and then Simmons. And I just love him. I mean, I think he's long. He's outrageously athletic. He's very, very versatile. He is the prototype defender that you need in the NFL these days. You know, we talk about the positionless defenders, and we've been talking about it for years. He is absolutely, like, built in a lab for that. The way he can kind of move between different coverage responsibilities, blitz. I mean, yeah, he could do it all. So I just really, really like him. I think this is an awesome fit with the Panthers. I just think, yeah, it just makes too much sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Danny, you're back here on the clock with the Arizona Cardinals. They make an insane move for DeAndre Hopkins there, and now they still have pick number 8. How did this happen, and where are they going to go with this pick?
This is tough. I think one of the big, like, advantages that having that trade go through gave the Cardinals is that they don't have to pick a receiver at this spot. They never necessarily had to pick one, but you know, when you're running a 4-wide, 3-wide set and you really want your offense to work, I think the Cardinals certainly needed to kind of accelerate their trajectory on offense in terms of what the talent they have in receiver. That's why they went and got aggressive and made that trade. And Hopkins gives them that. Now they can address other needs with this first pick, because it's such a deep draft of receiver. I think they could certainly wait to get a different guy later on. So I'm going offensive line here. It comes down to Jedrick Wills from Alabama and Mekhi Becton. And it's tough because I like both of these guys a lot. I think I'm going to go with Wills just because he's a plug-and-play right tackle. And Mekhi Becton played left tackle at Louisville. He's a little more raw. Obviously, his upside is through the roof. Just unbelievable movement skills for a 365-pound guy. Just rare, rare movement skills. And he might actually end up being the first tackle taken because of that. But ultimately, I'm going to go with Wills because he's, again, he plug and play. He's ready in day one to step in at right tackle for the Cardinals. And yeah, just hit the ground running. So I like him there.
Yeah, it's a great pick there. Jedrick Wills is one of those guys where you watch him on tape and you notice immediately that he does not, you're not moving him off his spot. Like, he just does not move at all. And so for them, the Arizona Cardinals, they re-signed DJ Humphreys, but I don't think he's the long-term answer there, right? So you need to be doing something to protect Kyler Murray, your huge investment, right? Trading for DeAndre Hopkins signals, hey, we're all in with Kyler Murray, which if, you know, trading Josh Rosen last year didn't indicate that, this one now does, right? So I think with Jedrick Wills there, that's a great fit there. I'm on the clock here with the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 9 overall. Don't look now, guys, but the Jacksonville Jaguars have a ton of draft picks in this upcoming draft, and they have a ton of needs all over that roster. But for me, they trade Calais Campbell to the Baltimore Ravens for a 5th-round pick, and they now have a gaping hole on that defensive line that they need to fill, along with Marcel Darius leaving as well. So you have guys like Aubrey Jones, Taven Bryan, and DeJuan Smoot as your starting 3 interior defensive line. You have to address that. Derrick Brown from Auburn, the defensive tackle, is on the board, and that's who I'm going to go with here. Derrick Brown is slipping a little bit based on what we saw at the combine. Didn't exactly test the greatest, but I don't think that really matters. He is an elite run stuffer. He brings upside in the pass rush game. He's just a guy who I really, really like, and I don't think he should fall outside of the top 10. He fits a huge need here for Jacksonville. I'm taking him here at number 9 overall. Tags, I know you're a fan of Brown too. Is this a good spot for him?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, they need help on the front 7, like, altogether. That team is they've clearly entered rebuild mode. They're gathering these picks, they're unloading salaries left and right. Derrick Brown is going to be part of that defense for a long time. They need some guys that are going to be staples, and he's the best at his position in this class, and I don't think it's really a debate. So, getting somebody to put on that front 7 that could be a staple in your defense, you know, for a long time in that rebuild process, it makes sense.
Absolutely. All right. Well, the Cleveland Browns here on the clock at 10 overall. Tags, you're making this pick. Where are the new direction of the Browns? Where are they heading here with number 10 overall?
Well, if it's me picking and if it's them picking, it's going to be 2 different picks. It's going to be an offensive lineman no matter what. They're going to take Mekhi Becton because that's basically the thing to do. But me personally, I'd take Andrew Thomas if it were my team. I think I actually have Andrew Thomas as my top tackle in the draft. I like him so much, and I feel like he's one of those guys where it's like I go back to Mike McGlinchey, and I wondered why people kept dropping him down the board, and I was like, I like him so much. And the same thing's kind of happening with Andrew Thomas. I wouldn't be shocked if Thomas actually goes as the first tackle off the board or inside the top 10. But the Browns, I mean, it's tough to say with the way that their ownership is changing and the way that they're approaching things is differently. So it could be different, but Mekhi Becton has just far too much hype right now to get outside the top 10, so he's going to go there. Either way, they're getting their left tackle with this pick. And if they didn't, I mean, if the Browns walk up there and take anything but left tackle with this pick, should we all just, like, riot?
I mean, potentially, but they still do have some needs on that defense that if one of these guys, main guys, falls, I wouldn't fault them for taking it, but they do still have to. Well, Jack Conklin, they did sign Jack Conklin in free agency, so they at least have something there at right tackle, but they do still have an immediate need at left tackle.
Yeah, Chris Hubbard's not going to play left tackle, and Greg Robinson's in prison, right?
Yeah, so Danny, what's the difference here between Mekhi Becton and Andrew Thomas here? I mean, Mekhi Becton, you don't make, these guys just don't come around often who are 6'7", 364, but then Andrew Thomas has 36-inch arms. Like, what's the difference here between these two? And then we'll go to your pick for the New York Jets.
I think that, I mean, honestly, the difference is Thomas is just not as flashy. You know, when you watch Mekhi Becton, number one, obviously the size stands out. He reminds me of when you remember the old picture with Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, yeah.
he's that size compared to everyone else on the field. So it's just like he stands out in that way. And then obviously just with the style of offense that they have, he was doing a lot of things where he's like throwing guys, like literally throwing pass rushers, like past the pocket and things like that. So he just stands out more. I'd say Andrew Thomas is more just I'm not going to call him boring, but like he's just good and solid and he does his job and he's good. You know, like he's just one of those guys that is just really, really good. He does his job. And I think the NFL is going to love Thomas. I agree. He could be the first tackle taken. He's just that solid, consistent. He's young still, good size, good flexibility, good athleticism, all that stuff. He actually played on both sides of the line, so he could be a right tackle too if they need him to be. You don't have to like project him there, in other words. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Thomas is just not as flashy. And that's kind of, you know, it just depends on what teams are looking for and what teams want. And I think I'm going to give the Jets him, in fact, because I'm debating in my mind between receiver and tackle. And the Jets did sign George Fant, but I'm not sure if that's enough. And Fant could probably play right tackle if they wanted or whatever. I just think it's more important than ever for the Jets to invest in a support system around Darnold. Like, they need to stop waiting. They need to do it now. And to me, that's either a receiver this year or a tackle. I think a tackle keeps him upright and helps him cut down on turnovers and all that stuff. So I think it's very, very important for them to improve their offensive line. So that's why I'm going to go with Thomas here.
Yeah, I love that fit. And George Fant doesn't scream a long-term answer. It screams like putting duct tape on a waterfall or, you know, like just a bursting pipe. Like it really just doesn't. Is it going to make a huge, huge difference, right, when we're talking about that offensive line and the holes that they have? Kelvin Beachum leaving, Brandon Shell leaving, who neither of them played great last year. You have Chumu Adoga out of USC as a third-round pick last year, I think. So, yeah, it's not the long-term answer there, but for them, Andrew Thomas is a great start. All right, I'm on the clock here at number 12 overall with the Las Vegas Raiders. We saw them sign Nick Kwiatkowski from the Chicago Bears and Corey Littleton, which I think are great starts for addressing that defense. Nick Kwiatkowski has been a rotational guy in that in the Bears linebacker core for the past couple of years. He's flashed when he's been on the field. But for me, so they could still be going linebacker, but I think it pushes it down the board where I would have been looking at someone like Kenneth Murray here at this point. They need wide receiver help, guys, and all of the wide receivers are still on the board. Jerry Jeudy is an immediate plug-and-play player here at number 12 overall. Jerry Jeudy, of course, a wide receiver out of Alabama. Incredible route runner, incredible at creating separation. This is just a guy who's going to come in and immediately help Derek Carr. I love the fit here in Las Vegas. Tags, I know that you're a huge, huge fan of Jerry Jeudy. What do you think about him here in Las Vegas? And does this scream, you know, he could be a wide receiver too in redraft leagues next year?
It makes tons of sense. And this is an area of the draft where you might see the Raiders consider a quarterback, but them signing Marcus Mariota, a guy that Mike Mayock loved back when he was on NFL Network, you know, talking about he was the favorite quarterback in that draft, getting him to back up Derek Carr, I believe they're going to give that one more year to see how that situation plays out. So I actually love Jeudy here. It fills the need that they thought that they were going to fill with Antonio Brown, right? They have an elite route runner. They have the field stretcher now, and Tyrell Williams can go back to that complementary role. They have Hunter Renfrow over the middle of the field. They have Darren Waller in that tight end role. They use an awful lot. Jeudy fit right in here and provide those quarterbacks with a valid target to throw to. But the question is, Derek Carr hasn't, I want to say he hasn't supported a consistent fantasy wide receiver to this point. Where would you guys rank him in fantasy? Would you guys feel comfortable drafting him as a wide receiver 3? Would you even contemplate getting him into the wide receiver 2 conversation?
I'm pretty bullish on him. I think he could make an impact right away, and I agree with all your analysis there in terms of it makes a lot of sense, especially if Carr, and even if Mariota ends up being the starter. I think he's a good fit for Mariota as well, just because neither of those guys are super pass with anticipation type players or, you know, super aggressive type passers, and so it helps, in my opinion, it helps for them to have like guys that are going to get open. And I think that's Judy's specialty, so I would be pretty confident drafting him. If he lands with the Raiders, I'd be pretty confident taking him as like a low-end wide receiver too.
Yeah, I'm right in that same range there. I think he would make an immediate impact and would be someone that I don't think we typically don't see wide receiver rookies creep up in ADP, right? So I think you'd be able to get an incredible value on him, where I think you'd be taking him as your wide receiver 3 or maybe even 4, depending on what round. And but yet he could be your wide receiver 2 immediately. Yeah, I'll take that in those mid rounds there. All right, Tags, the 49ers pull off a trade with Indianapolis to send DeForest Buckner, the defensive tackle, to Indianapolis in exchange for the 13th overall pick. They're on the clock here now at 13 overall. You're making this selection. Where are John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan going here?
Yeah, there's a few areas that they need to improve on. One being wide receiver. Wide receiver is a big need, and CeeDee Lamb is someone that I believe that they would probably consider with this pick. But I'm guessing trading into 13, they have their eyes set on someone. And that someone, I mean, if you go back and watch, Akilah Witherspoon has never been the guy that they needed him to be, right? So solidifying that secondary, Richard Sherman is not getting any younger. They understand that when cornerbacks fall off, they're going to fall off pretty hard. So instead of going wide receiver here, they're going to go with CJ Henderson, cornerback. I believe he raised his stock an awful lot at the NFL Combine, kind of showed up, and everybody is anticipating him moving up potentially into the top 10, and it wouldn't shock me at all if that happens. But the 49ers here, getting Jimmy Ward back under contract allowed them to kind of wait on safety a little bit. Trading Buckner away, there's really no defensive tackle that you would consider here. And I mean, getting Armstead under contract, I'm sure that's the reason they shipped off Buckner, but at the same time, Henderson, this is the area of the draft where he should be coming off the board. Again, debated CeeDee Lamb here, but I believe you have a versatile receiver in Deebo Samuel. I think that they could use somewhat more of a field stretcher. So you could even say Henry Ruggs would fit that Kyle Shanahan offense as that field stretcher, but I'm going to go CJ Henderson here.
Danny, if the 49ers stay here, that's the big question mark, and that's the big thing that we need to talk about. If the 49ers stay here at 13 overall, do you think CJ Henderson makes a ton of sense? They need corner, they need wide receiver help, or do you think that the priority here is trade down, let's get some picks, because they don't have picks in the second, third, or fourth round?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you can certainly get a haul for this pick, probably, because there's still some blue chip players on the board. I agree with the pick. I love Henderson. I think it's a great fit for the 49ers, and you know, obviously they need to restock the shelves at that position. But I do think this is an ideal spot for them to trade back. You don't even have to trade back that far. You could trade back later into the first round even and still pick up some extra picks. And so, yeah, that could certainly be a scenario where they decide to trade down and grab a couple extra like day two picks and see how that goes. But overall, I like this pick. I like the fit. You know, Henderson's a fiery guy. It just makes a lot of sense for a defense that kind of needs to add a few more weapons.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, you're here on the clock with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That feels super weird to say. Are they still looking at quarterback here, or are they going to go a different direction here at 14 overall?
That's a great question. I don't know if they'd be looking at quarterback here, because I would guess, just my gut is maybe in their pitch to Brady, they're like, hey, we're going to load up around you for the short term. And Brady has said, I think, that he wants to play till he's like 46 years old or something ridiculous. So maybe they're thinking more than a 1 year window here. So I'm very torn on what to do here, to be honest, because I think the Bucs could use a tackle, and the top four guys are off the board. So I don't know if Josh Jones or, you know, any of the other, like Isaiah Wilson, perhaps are in this. I don't know if this is a reach at that spot. So maybe they go a different direction. I think I'm going to go with Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, because their defense, number one, was really, really good last year and has the potential to be like elite next season if they continue on that trajectory. I think their defensive secondary is very young but getting much, much better. You know, they retained Shaq Barrett. They got JPP back. So, but they're losing Sue on the inside, I assume. I guess he hasn't signed anywhere yet, but I kind of like Kinlaw there just because he can play multiple positions on the line. Kind of seems like he could be an early starter for them, like a guy that can disrupt the pocket. And he helps Brady just because he makes that defense better. It makes Brady not have to win shootout type games. And so it does make a lot of sense, I think, for the short term and the long term.
Yeah, I agree. I think as I was looking at their needs as you were talking and kind of contemplating the pick, I was like, I looked at their interior defensive line. They have Vita Vea and William Golston, and that's about it right now. And so you have to, you know, plugging in Javon Kinlaw, who has the potential to be a top five talent in this class. He's a beast on the interior. So yeah, plugging him in there is a great fit. And if he was still on the board, I was contemplating here for the next team, the Denver Broncos at number 15 overall. I was looking at Javon Kinlaw, even though they grabbed Jarrell Casey for a seventh round pick, which just still does not make sense to me, but that's the NFL for you. But you have Draymond Jones, DeMarcus Walker still there. And so I think that they can push this defensive line need down the board. I think they feel comfortable with that a little bit. The guy that I keep hearing connected to them is still on the board somehow. After he ran a 4.27 at the NFL Combine, this guy just is speed. He's the flash. You know, he's the flash on the football field. That's Henry Ruggs, a wide receiver out of Alabama. For them to surround Drew Lock with weapons is what they need to do. right? They need to be investing in their quarterback. They finally, I think, found one that they feel comfortable moving forward with as the guy. Now you need to do everything that you can to surround him with weapons. And so to have an offense that has guys like Phillip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton out of the slot, you add in Henry Ruggs, Noah Fant, I feel like that's a really, really good offense. Tags, if Henry Ruggs lands here in Denver with Drew Lock, is he someone who could creep up into like the eighth round of redraft ADP next year, or is he someone who's just going to be that late round flyer?
Yeah, I don't think that he would. It's tough to say. He obviously would take a backseat to Cortland Sutton. There's a team that wants to be defense first, obviously under Vic Fangio, so they're not going to be throwing the ball a whole lot, so I wouldn't be too interested in Henry Ruggs if he did land there. I thought CeeDee Lamb would be a good fit to play opposite Cortland Sutton. You kind of have that bigger body. You have two guys that like are security blankets for Drew Lock. Granted, Ruggs would stretch the field obviously a lot more than someone like Cortland Sutton does. And then with Deshaun Hamilton in the slot, you kind of have a mix of all that, and you have obviously Fant able to stretch the field. So I don't dislike the pick, and it seems like Ruggs is slated to go in the first round. Like, that seems like it's going to happen. Should it happen? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of question marks about Ruggs's game, and I think he needs to land in the right offense that understands how to use him. I don't think that Denver would be the place. So me personally, I'd let someone else take him in a redraft league.
Sure, sure. All right, well, Tags, you're back on the clock here with the Atlanta Falcons at number 16 overall. We saw them sign Dante Fowler Jr., the edge player, and he was with the Rams last year. So this fills a huge need for them. Do they double down here? Because they still need help all over that defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's in consideration for sure. And another player that it's really tough to pass on is CeeDee Lamb. He's still on the board here at 16. I don't think they anticipated that after trading away Mohamed Sanu. CeeDee Lamb can play the slot, and he could do it very well. I mean, can you imagine a trio of Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and CeeDee Lamb? It would be absolutely redonkulous. But at the same time, they did just lose Desmond Trufant. All they have is Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield at cornerback right now. Basically, those are the only two players. So I think they need to go cornerback here. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Christian Fulton is their pick at 16.
Yeah, I feel like that's the right pick there. Christian Fulton, that's still really, really good player out of LSU. And so addresses a huge need there. Danny, do you like that fit of Fulton to Atlanta?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Very athletic guy. He ran really well at the combine. You know, he's had his fair share of very tough matchups in college football, so you know, very well, like, game tested and all that. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, big, physical, fast guy.
Yeah, completely. All right, well, Dallas Cowboys on the clock at number 17 overall. They franchise tag Dak Prescott. They re-sign Amari Cooper to a huge deal. So, but they lose Byron Jones in free agency. They have needs, you know, Robert Quinn, they lose him in free agency as well. Danny, where are the Dallas Cowboys going here with that number 17 overall pick?
This is tough. This is a tough one because there's a couple different spots that I kind of have on my radar here. Safety, potentially corner, potentially pass rush are kind of like what I'm looking at. I think I'm going to go with Kayvon Chaisson from LSU just because I think there's a huge cliff after the top couple of pass rushers kind of go off the board. And, you know, his knock is that he wasn't the most productive guy in college. And, you know, the production didn't necessarily match the physical attributes, but he is springy. He's explosive. He's got good size. He's got, you know, he's got the whole package in terms of traits. And I think he has potential to be a very, very good NFL player. And so, you know, teaming him up with DeMarcus Lawrence, giving them a little bit more speed on the edge. You know, like you said, they're losing some of their guys. They lost Robert Quinn. I don't think Michael Bennett's going to be back. They need it feels like they need an injection of like athletic speed and production on the edge. And, you know, Chaisson is a risk. He's a risky pick, I would say, but I really like his upside. I think his upside's through the roof. So I guess I'm going to go there. This is a tough pick though. There's a lot of guys I could have considered at this spot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I feel like that pick makes the most sense because Robert Quinn actually played really, really well for them last year in Dallas. And Robert Quinn is essentially around the same size as Kayvon Chaisson and has that speed rush kind of element to his game. Chaisson does have the ability to drop into coverage to be a force against a run. I like it. I really like that. It's just kind of addressing that need there that Robert Quinn just vacated. And you just plug Chaisson in there into that defense. Yeah, I like it.
The Dolphins are on the clock. All right, the Dolphins on the clock. That I know, Daniel, that's your pick to make. I'm the Eagles calling you, willing to offer you our number 21 overall pick as well as our third round pick to move up to this number 18 slot. It's a compensatory pick.
4-spot drop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that, I think.
All right.
I'll just go ahead and assume that this, with the Dolphins having so many needs, that they've probably got a few guys on their list right here. So I think they're willing to move back to pick up an extra pick.
All right, the Eagles move up. They give them that compensatory third-round pick, and they are going to select CeeDee Lamb at 18 overall.
Man.
That's such a steal.
That is completely a steal. But that's how this board falls, and this is the importance and value of doing these mock drafts now, is for us to be able to say, what does this look like if Jeffrey Okuda goes number 3 overall, right? If we take Simmons at number 3 overall, then this board shakes out completely different, right? If we take Tua at 6 rather than 5, it shakes out completely different. That's the benefit in these. So to see CeeDee Lamb go at 18 is seemingly ridiculous, but yet it makes a ton of sense when we look at the board ahead of him. And I feel like, let's talk about CeeDee Lamb there to Philadelphia. He slides in there. Where does he play? Are you moving on from Alshon Jeffrey at this point?
Yeah, there's rumors that they could move him on, that they actually might be cutting him before the draft with the way that the new CBA works out. Someone said that the dead money, they'd be able to spread it out, and it would work out in that way. And yeah, I guess they could move on from Alshon. They may keep him there as like a mentor in a way, because CeeDee Lamb can play all over the field. As I mentioned, he can kind of fill that role that Nelson Agholor in the slot, and then he can move out to the perimeter and give you a little bit of flexibility. So yeah, I like Lamb there. I don't even think they need to get rid of Alshon in order to get him on the field.
All right, awesome. Well, the Raiders are back here on the clock at number 19 overall. I gave them Jerry Jeudy at number 12 overall. The guy that I was thinking about giving them at 12 is still here on the clock. It's Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. You had the two biggest needs for the Raiders going into free agency was wide receiver and linebacker. You address it with some good players, with Corey Littleton, Nick Kukowski. But now you tell me that you go from having essentially zero linebackers on your depth chart to now you have Corey Littleton, Nick Kukowski, and Kenneth Murray as your linebackers there. That makes a ton of sense, and that should have Raiders fans extremely happy. Tags, I know you're a fan of Kenneth Murray too. Does this fit make sense even with the moves that they made in free agency?
With the moves they made, I'm guessing they're not going to go that route. You know, getting rid of losing Carl Joseph. I know that they snagged Jeff Heath, but I don't think Jeff Heath is a long-term solution. Eric Harris and Jonathan Abram, those two are probably going to be the starters right now. There's a lot of needs in this team. Is Trayvon Mullen going to be your long-term starter? I know they went out and they got Eli Apple. There's a lot of question marks in this team, but I go back to the offensive line. If they don't get Incognito back under contract, they're going to need an interior lineman. So this is where you could see it. Every single year we kind of push off interior linemen because it's like, okay, it's kind of an afterthought, but there's always one or two that go in the first round. So this could be one of those locations where we see it. We saw the benefit of them investing in the offensive line, getting some bodies there if they don't sign someone like Incognito back under contract. But this is a pick I did like before free agency, but knowing that they added Kukowski and Littleton, it doesn't make as much sense.
So for me, looking at, and I'll explain this super quick, for me, they run a 4-3 base defense there. So you have Corey Littleton is not a big player. So I think you're putting him in at the Will linebacker spot. You have Nick Kukowski who can play the Mike. And then you have Kenneth Murray coming in as your Sam, as your strong side linebacker. Or potentially flip Nick Kukowski as your strong. I think that makes a ton of sense.
It does make sense, but it's just like so much invested in the linebacker position when NFL teams traditionally devalue it, you know?
For sure, for sure. I think for them to look at what they've done, though, to go out and get those two guys, I think it screams that they value the position. So again, this is a pick that I would love to see. I think it can still make sense, but yet for them, you know, they could push it down the board for sure. Danny, what do you think? Let's hear your thoughts on this.
I'm kind of in the middle. I think, you know, guys like Murray, where they bring speed and intensity and some coverage, like athleticism, at least, you know, he has to kind of prove it still. But those guys can be really, really valuable, obviously. I mean, you look at guys like Bobby Wagner, who, and I'm not comparing Kenneth Murray to Wagner necessarily, but like the impact that he can have on a defense because he's so fast and so intense and can blitz and can cover and can do all that stuff. It's hard to understate that. So I don't know. I think if they see Kenneth Murray as a guy like that, it could make a lot of sense. But, you know, and also the Raiders are kind of old school thinking. Like Gruden's an old school guy, and grabbing like a linebacker at that spot wouldn't be surprising to me.
Yeah, and it does make sense with Mike Mayock too, valuing character, valuing leadership. You know, Kenneth Murray, two-time captain there at Oklahoma, just an upstanding player and person. So I think that kind of makes sense there. All right, so I'm back on the clock at number 20 overall, and this is not how I wanted the board to shake out, because the Jacksonville Jaguars, I did not anticipate CJ Henderson and Christian Fulton going between these picks. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, they desperately need corner. They desperately need corner help. And so if I'm looking at someone for them, I think Bryce Hall is a talented player, but with his injury, I don't think that he's worth taking here all the way up at 20. Trayvon Diggs, I think, is more raw of a prospect than we think. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go here. It might be a little bit of a reach, but they have to do something at the corner position. Jeff Gladney seems to be a lock for the Minnesota Vikings at 25. And I think I'm going to take him here to fit into this defense as they attempt to kind of rebuild on the fly. So Jeff Gladney out of TCU, the corner, I'll take him here.
I like it. I actually have him right behind CJ Henderson on my big board in terms of like cornerback talent. So I like the pick here, and you're right. I think they do need to reach, you know, losing not only Ramsey, but then trading away Boye for nothing. They don't have cornerback talent on the roster. They need to get corners.
Yeah. Danny, what are your thoughts there?
Gladney is my third corner as well. So love that pick. I think he's super twitched up. Very aggressive, great speed. Well, maybe not great length, but he's lanky kind of guy. And so super, super fast feet. I like him a lot. I think that's a great pick. I'm all about it.
Awesome. Well, the Miami Dolphins moved down from 18 to 21. They're back on the clock here. Danny, where are the Miami Dolphins going after going to a Tagovailoa at number 5 overall?
They could do a million things here. I mean, obviously, they've got a lot of ammunition, got a lot of needs. I'm leaning defense in this position because I think if they're going offense, it would be, you know, a tackle. They've already been 4 tackles off the board, and I think there's a little bit of a cliff after that. I think the receiver, the top 3 receivers are gone, and I wouldn't say receiver is necessarily their top need. I kind of actually like the receiver core in Miami right now with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams and Albert Wilson. He might not actually be there, but I feel like they've got some good, solid talent at that spot. They could go receiver here. But ultimately, I think I'm going to go with Xavier McKinney from Alabama because, you know, number one, obviously they traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I think McKinney, if anybody's like similar to Minkah, it's McKinney because he can play so many different positions. You know, he can line up all over the formation. He can kind of be like their movable chess piece on defense. They have 2 really good outside corners now in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, the guy they just signed the other day, to the biggest cornerback contract in the NFL now. I think they have the 2 biggest cornerback contracts in the NFL now. But if you look at kind of like Bill Belichick style defenses, they've always had these really, really versatile guys in the middle of the field, you know, and it's been like sort of a trait that those defenses have had all over throughout the Bill Belichick era. Guys that can kind of cover, they can do a lot of different things, they can defend the run. I think that's McKinney. Obviously, Grant Delpit is another option at this spot. I don't know. Flores just seems like a guy that probably wouldn't put up with missed tackles, though. So I'm going with McKinney. And I think those guys are very close, very, very, both very talented. But in this case, I'll put McKinney there.
Tags, what do you think about them addressing safety there with Xavier McKinney?
I think it makes sense that they continue to build this defense through free agency. If there's one team that like has made a big, big change throughout free agency, it's the Dolphins. That defense, like, they just keep bringing in players. Their offensive line, I know they've added a few guys there as well. They need to address that, obviously, as the draft goes on. But knowing that, like, that we've had a lot of offensive linemen. Typically, you're only going to see like 3 tackles go in the first round, but this is such a top-heavy draft. I think that's why we saw a lot of them go. McKinney actually does make sense. You know, they have Eric Rowe and Bobby McCain back there, but I don't think either of them are like guys that you can't pass on. And McKinney, I don't think that he's nearly as talented as Fitzpatrick, but he is he's a similar styled player. So, you know, they could fall in love with that.
Awesome. Well, Danny, the Minnesota Vikings, they're back on the clock here with making that trade from Buffalo with Stephon Diggs heading there. So they're on the clock for the first time at 22 overall. Mm. Where are the Minnesota Vikings going?
So I could see them going in a couple different directions here. I think, you know, they could always end up adding more pass rushers. They could add another receiver here because they just traded Diggs. Ultimately, I think they need to go corner. I think Vikings fans hate the idea of corners in the first round still, but they did lose Rhodes and McKenzie Alexander.
But we can't give them Trayvon Diggs, though. Stephon Diggs' brother.
Oh my god, good point. Okay, well then instead of giving him Diggs, I'm gonna go with Jalen Johnson of Utah. You know, big physical guy, very, very, very stingy in coverage this past season. just a reliable guy with size and speed and kind of like the whole package. He's flown under the radar, I feel like, a little bit. But I think he has a chance. I feel like I've heard whispers that he's going to be a first rounder of late. And there's quite a few good corners in this sort of like tier of cornerback, with Diggs and Damon Arnett and AJ Terrell and some of these guys that could sneak into their first round. But I kind of like Johnson here the most, so I'm going to go with Johnson.
Yeah, I like Jalen Johnson's tape, defensive back out of Utah. He's just he's one of those like strong players, right? The ones that just he's going to contribute right away. Didn't exactly have the best combine, but I think for the Vikings, they have to be walking away addressing that position, right? You have a hole there, and you need to be doing something to address it. So Jalen Johnson makes a lot of sense for that team. I like the pick. All right, I'm here on the clock with the New England Patriots. This is super interesting because you look at their depth chart and you go like, do they even have like a roster right now? Like it has just been decimated. And this is what we like typically see out of Bill Belichick every single year is let the first wave of free agency go by. And then he's going to come in and just, you know, scoop up these guys on super cheap contracts and fill some voids here. But I'm feeling a little crazy here today, guys. I'm going to go Jordan Love here. And while I don't exactly love, I think the Patriots need to do something, right? Whether that's trading for Jacoby Brissett now that I think he's out in Indy, you know, with Phillip Rivers coming there, like, you know, they could go get Jacoby Brissett back. But in this situation where we just don't have clarity on that right now, they need to get a quarterback. They need someone. And so for me, Jordan Love has potentially the highest ceiling out of any quarterback in this class, right? I think Joe Burrow has like the highest floor, but I don't think he's necessarily like the highest ceiling prospect. Tua can be that same way. Justin Herbert, I think, can too. But Jordan Love, if he hits, he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback, but he has one of the lowest floors in this entire class too. So while I'm not, you know, crazy about him as a prospect, it fills a huge, huge need there with Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. What do you think about this for the Patriots?
I just think it's fun. Yeah, I think I agree with you completely in terms of his prospect profile, like high ceiling, got all the tools. And I've been saying this pretty much the whole draft process. Like last year, I kind of feel like I learned my lesson a little bit with Daniel Jones. And I was really, really low on him. I just thought he was going to be a terrible pro. And, you know, he might still not end up panning out really completely. Obviously, there was a lot of problems with turnovers in his first year. But he was so much better than I thought he would be, you know. And a lot of that had to do with coaching and surrounding talent and the right scheme and all that. Jordan Love was really good in 2018, and then everything fell apart in 2019 because he lost his coach. He lost a lot of his talented playmakers. Like there was brand new offense. There was just all these variables, and that kind of skews everything. And so I'm very intrigued with Love, and I agree with you though. Like there's certainly some very, very concerning things. He you know, his decision making and accuracy can be very hit or miss. So, you know, there's that. But I mean, with Tom Brady moving on, I just think it makes a ton of sense here. And, this, you know, they could build around him. They could develop him and kind of start anew there. So I like this a lot.
So if they trade real quick, if they trade away, let's say they trade for Josh Rosen, then who would have you taken with this pick, Yates?
Well, Tags, I took Jordan Love because I didn't have anyone else in mind. So you're putting me back on the board here. Under pressure, I think Cesar Ruiz, the center out of Michigan, makes a ton of sense. They did franchise tag Joe Thuney, but they still need help at the interior offensive line. I think Ruiz would have made sense there. All right, Tags, the New Orleans Saints, they bring back Drew Brees on a 2-year deal. So New Orleans Saints there, who are they going?
Yeah, it's win now mode for the Saints. We know that defense, they added Malcolm Jenkins. They filled I don't even want to say it was a void at safety. This is a complete team. This is a team that can win a Super Bowl this year. And I think they need someone to work opposite Michael Thomas. I think Ted Ginn is past his prime. I am going to take Justin Jefferson. He gives them so much versatility in this offense. Traquan Smith and Michael Thomas and Jefferson can all play on the perimeter or in the slot. It just gives them too many weapons. Justin Jefferson.
I love that.
Yeah, can you imagine being a defense and looking across the field and you have Michael Thomas, Justin Jefferson, and Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook on the other side? That's just terrifying.
I love that.
Yeah, completely. All right, Danny, the Vikings went Jalen Johnson there at 22 overall. They're back here at 25 overall. Where are we going to see the Vikings address here?
So I was thinking about Jefferson in this spot, potentially, and then, but I just think that they're such an old school team run, play defense, do all that. with Everson Griffin potentially leaving and some kind of like a transitional period kind of on their defensive line, I'm going to go with Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State here. Good length, good explosiveness, high upside. You know, he wasn't quite as, you know, productive or whatever as you want to be necessarily, but I think he's got all the tools and all that. And so he kind of fits that defense as like a 4-3 end. So I like him there.
Yeah, he's my scouting notes on him was that he's a bull in a china shop, right? And I think for if you have an inconsistent or not, I don't want to call it weak secondary, the way that you help them out is you create pass rush pressure up front. Yetur would bring that in right away. He's a player that I really, really enjoyed watching. All right, the Miami Dolphins, 26th overall.
Back up again.
The bag up again. Tua Tagovailoa at number 5 overall. Xavier McKinney at 21 overall. Now number 26 overall. Miami Dolphins finishing out their first round haul here. Where are they going?
This is tough because I think I'm going to go with Josh Jones here. They need to build the foundation. They build from the inside out. Jones is one of those guys, a late riser, but did really, really well at the Senior Bowl. Has good athleticism, has all the tools, has the length, all that stuff. He's not super flashy. He's kind of the same deal as Andrew Thomason. It's like not like a super flashy player, but I think he's a solid tackle who could probably play on either side for them. So we'll round out their first round with a good tackle who could potentially help protect Tua.
Yeah, he brings some upside too. I think he's just kind of scratching the surface. He's a former basketball player, still transitioning to offensive tackle, but brings a lot of upside because I don't think he's fully developed there yet. A little bit raw. All right, so Seahawks on the clock at number 27 overall. I think if we know the offense or the philosophy there with the Seattle Seahawks, it's going to be let's move down, let's get out of the first round. But if they do stay here, the guy that we saw have tremendous success in Seattle for a long time was Michael Bennett. And when you look at the athletic profile of AJ Epenesa compared to Michael Bennett, it kind of matches up perfectly. The Seattle Seahawks are going to be losing Jadeveon Clowney, I think. It's highly unlikely that he returns there at this point. And so for them, they need size on the edge. They have guys like Rasheem Green, Shaquem Griffin, Brandon Jackson, and Cody Barton there. Those are not, you know, pass rush guys. Those are not guys that you have as far as big presences there on the edge. So AJ Epenesa here, all the way at 27, which is crazy, but I feel like he's a perfect fit for that defense.
That makes a lot of sense, that pick.
He feels to me like a very Seahawks pick. I mean, they did choose LJ Collier last year in the first round, and he's kind of in the same mold in the sense that he's like strong, heavy-handed guy, but I think Epenesa is a far better player than Collier.
Yeah, my question with Collier is where is he going to play? I mean, he really did not play much last year at all. It was like some, you know, very minimal snaps, right? So, but he's like 290 pounds. AJ Epenesa came in at 275, and so I think he has the ability to cut down and be, you know, more of that movement player on the outside. LJ Collier potentially sliding inside. So Ravens tags, they're on the clock at 28 overall. We saw them, you know, have a really active free agency, especially on the trade market there. So where are the Ravens going here at 28?
I debated going sexy and going with Jonathan Taylor here. It would kind of make sense if they wanted to get their long-term running back, because obviously Mark Ingram, aging running back, dealt with a bad injury at the end of last season. Could see that, but instead I'm going to fill another void they have at linebacker. I'm going to take Patrick Queen out of LSU. I think he would be phenomenal for that defense out there in Baltimore, and they're building something special. Like that team, Kansas City, those are two teams that I just don't see how you contend with them.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I was going to say, before you made the pick, I was going to interject and say, Tags, there's one right answer here, and you made it. So good job. You get an A+ for this one today. All right, Danny, 29 overall, the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry's franchise tag. This was a kind of a landing spot for Jonathan Taylor for a long time. Do you think that we could still see that happen, or are they going to go a different direction here?
I think I could see it. I think I'm going to do it because honestly, like when you talk about like their identity and the foundation of their offense, it's very, very much like wear people down, create explosive plays with the run game, and then turn around and throw it over your head with play action. And so Jonathan Taylor kind of fits that to a T in the sense that he could be that first and second down guy that could create explosive plays, get out in the open field, kind of like we see with Derrick Henry. And honestly, I don't think it's a smart thing for the Titans to re-sign Henry to a long-term deal. So getting Taylor here, you have the perfect sort of like bridge situation. And obviously it kind of is insurance for Henry, you know, in case he gets hurt or all that and kind of like things fall apart. Because when he got hurt, when his hamstring kind of flared up, and they went to Deion Lewis, it was completely different. Like, the whole complexion of their offense was different. And I'm not a big first round running back guy. Like, I believe you can get good value later in the draft and all that. Like, I understand all that stuff. But for the Titans in particular, specifically, like, this is such a huge part of their identity. Getting here at 29 is not, it's not like a huge, huge reach. It's not like terrible value. And I love Jonathan Taylor. I think he's going to be a great pro. So I'm going to go with that.
I like it. I like the fit. And the question mark now becomes, what do they do with Derrick Henry? Do they just, you know, rescind that franchise tag and let him go? Do they try to trade him? I don't see anyone trading for Derrick Henry. So that's a potential, you know, question mark of what could happen. But I think when you're looking at their offensive philosophy, I think Jonathan Taylor slides right in there and still allows them to, you know, be building and addressing other needs with that salary cap rather than just designating it towards a guy who's had as much work as Derrick Henry. All right, I am on the clock here for the Green Bay Packers at number 30 overall. For me, they need to be looking at wide receiver. They haven't touched that so far in free agency. And so there's a guy here who has been a very, very fast riser. I am not necessarily like declaring, I don't think that he belongs in the first round discussion. I think he's more of a middle second round guy. But Denzel Mims out of Baylor has just been flying up draft boards. He's been nailing this pre-draft process so far. He fills a huge need there for the Green Bay Packers. So now you have Davante Adams and Denzel Mims as targets for Aaron Rodgers. I think it makes a ton of sense. Tags, what do you think about Denzel Mims here in the first round?
I know he ran a 4.38 40, but I don't know. When I watch Mims on tape, I don't get the feeling that he's a field stretcher. Not to say that he can't be, and I again 4.38 40 tells me that I'm wrong. I liked him underneath. I feel like he can play that possession style role. They obviously have Davante Adams, but this pick does kind of make sense, even though we're hearing whispers that the Packers are apparently okay with their wide receiver core, that they like the guys that they have, and that just drives me bananas, but it is what it is, and I would definitely take Mims over what they have right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, 49ers are on the clock. Tags, it's to you. We saw them take CJ Henderson with their first pick. They still have a need here at wide receiver. There's still some very good ones on the board. Is that where you're leaning, Tags, or are we addressing another need?
We are going to address another need. We just found out that they just cut Mike Person, their interior guard, the right guard that they had starting last year. So they need to fill him. And I'm guessing they're going to grab one of these centers here. And I'm going to Tyler Biadasz. He's a guy that obviously played center in college, but I do believe transitioning, you could have guys move from center to guard. It's not that big of a deal, but they can use some interior linemen, and that's where I'm going.
He is a force against the run, man. That would be a perfect fit, and he's great climbing to the second level on the move, which we know they do in San Francisco. All right, Danny, you get to make the pick here, the final pick for the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. They won the Super Bowl, but they have needs everywhere, man. So where are we going here with the final pick of the first round?
Man, and you said it, like, I could go so many different places. Like, I'm so tempted to give them like Jalen Reagor here or something, where you can just have like, because it's just fun as hell. But I'm guessing they'll either kind of look to bolster their defensive line or add a cornerback. I'm going to go with Damon Arnett from Ohio State. Maybe that's a little bit out of left field, but just like a very, very fiery, very talented player. There's, I guess, kind of whispers and rumors, I guess, of there's some off-field stuff that teams are concerned about, but I think his tape is very, very good. And he is, you know, he's got a ton of experience against good players. You know, he's ready to go in there right now. I just like him a lot. I think he's a really good player. And the Chiefs have never been afraid to kind of take risks on guys. And so I think I like Arnett a lot there.
That's very true. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned it, fiery and passionate and competitive. So you have, you know, Honey Badger and Damon Arnett in that same secondary. I think that'd be fun.
Tone setters. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, completely. All right, guys. Well, that's all we've got for today, everyone. A huge thank you to Danny Kelly for coming on the show. And a reminder that you can find him on Twitter at Danny B. Kelly. Danny, we really appreciate you carving some time out of your busy schedule, man, to chat with us.
Absolutely. And I got to plug the Ringer NFL Draft Guide. Been updating that continually since basically December. So yeah, I've got full scouting reports on the top 50 right now. It's going to be expanded over to 75 here pretty soon. So check that out at the NFL Draft Guide at theringer.com.
That's awesome, man. And as mentioned earlier, guys, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's show. Make sure you guys go check them out at pristineauction.com. Fantastic memorabilia items for unbelievably affordable prices. That's it for us today, guys. Stay safe, be smart, and stay tuned to Fantasy Pros. We're here to take your mind off of what's going on in the world, and we can be found on Twitter, again, at KyleYNFL and at MikeTaglierNFL, and our main account can be found at Fantasy Pros. For Mike Taglier and Danny Kelly, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.